Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like scrolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store, like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Got a lot of things to talk about with Dave Simons, who joins us every Tuesday here on KMOX. He's the partner and managing director at One Private Wealth. Dave Simons, how are you?
You know, I'm good, Chris, but let me throw out some kudos for your boy, Matt, there. I mean, I don't know if you guys picked up on this, but that intro music was REO Speedwagon's Easy Money.
That's right, Dave.
I mean, how perfect heading into the Fed talking about interest rates and the possibility of easy money. That guy's good.
We like to not bring it up and just move on.
I think he's good.
Yeah, he's fine.
Thanks, Dave.
So what?
You're more than welcome, Matt.
What is your expectation today with the Fed in the meeting?
Well, it's a 2-day meeting, and so they'll actually give their announcement tomorrow. But as far as tinkering with interest rates or anything like that, that is likely not going to happen. They'll leave well enough alone. So your analysts and your economists what they're really looking for is what do they see in the next couple of quarters? Because everything that we hear with corporate earnings right now, these CEOs and CFOs go out there and they always talk about lack of clarity. We don't know what the tariffs are going to do. So we don't know how to go forward with our business in the future. And I think you very well could see and hear some confusion out of the Fed, which is that doesn't happen very often, but it should be very telling. So I think that all we're going to get tomorrow is more question marks, frankly, than anything. And I think that's why you're seeing the market just kind of pausing here. It was down a little yesterday. It's down a little today on really no news except heading into this Fed announcement tomorrow. And I'm not so sure we're going to get much guidance.
You know, Dave, this is a question and a joke, but I don't know if you've heard about the economist and the engineer who fell down a 100-foot well, and the engineer said, we'll never get out of here. We can't do it. And the economist said, first, assume a ladder. And
that's exactly right.
Yes. And so I am offending people by calling it a soft science, but when you are looking at the Fed, how much are we creating our own reality by how we act to what they do?
Amy, let me tell you something. You just really hit the nail on the head more than anything else, because there are two sets of data. There's the hard data, which is what the Fed entirely rests their opinions on. They look at unemployment. They look at inflation. They look at how the economy has been going, not so much where it is going. The rest of us, though, and me in particular, I look more importantly at soft data when we're trying to arrange portfolios. And that is more of what you just talked about, mm-hmm. Amy. It's our own behavior. So look, I could point out to the sky on a beautiful spring day and say, look how beautiful it is. There's not a cloud in the sky. It's blue. The sun is out. And you might say, nah, it's about to rain any moment. It's going to rain. I know it is. I'd say, Amy, but that's not even in the forecast. Nope, I just feel it. I have experience in this. It's going to rain. Even if it doesn't, you are changing your behavior that day as if it's going to rain. You're going to maybe cancel that picnic you had in the afternoon. You're going to stay at home. You've got your umbrella ready. Well, if that's being repeated millions of times across the country, then guess what? The economy is really not behaving like it should on a sunny day. So that's analogous to what I look at with the soft data, and that is showing up in a lot of these sentiment polls where corporations are kind of laying low for now, and even consumers are also starting to lay low. The hard data is actually still pretty good. You may have seen that unemployment report that came out last Friday. It was good. And that's what the Fed looks at, and that's why I don't think they're going to be cutting rates. They still see an economy that's humming on all cylinders. I see an economy that is maybe perhaps starting to weaken because of that self-fulfilling prophecy. They see the clouds coming on the horizon.
Yeah. So is there maybe more confidence than there should be right now?
You know, I just saw a survey of professional money managers. So these are not the rest of us, the mom and pop investors. These are the men and women who really take all the seats on Wall Street. They are now the most pessimistic at any time since 1997. That was an eye-opening statistic that I saw over the weekend. Now, does that mean they're right? Absolutely not. For people who were investing back then, you may recall 98 and 99, the 2 years that followed that pessimism that was running around Wall Street, were really strong. The S&P were up more than 20%. So I actually see a positive to this. I'm a bit of a contrarian. When everyone's really giddy and everyone's excited about the economy and they're buying stock and they're mortgaging the house to add to stock positions, I get worried. But because there's just enough pessimism with mom and pop investors and with professional investors, I'm not saying the market can't decline, but I think it keeps a floor underneath this. That's why I am not overly bearish. I just think this market is going to trade within a range for a while.
Dave, how much do generations and the overall, meaning age generations, and the overall trends of how they act affect the economy and how you project the economy? And what I mean by this is my dad, right, 70 years old, how he would buy a house is very different than how my brother, who is 30, is looking to buy his first house. And my brother is younger. He's acting different. He absorbs the economy differently. As the younger generations start becoming, their financial mass grows, will economics change?
They very well could. When I got into the business, I had, as some of my first clients, people who were actually adults during the Great Depression. They weren't little kids. They were adults. They were already managing money. It's interesting, Amy. I had to treat them differently. It was a big surprise to me as a new person in the industry. How they wanted to invest was so different than when I got into the business more than 30 years ago, and people of my age and people even in their 40s and 50s. These were at the time, early 80s into their 90s, you couldn't show them this new company called Microsoft or Apple. That was scary stuff, man. They saw companies like that fail in the 20s and 30s. So they would buy their Laclede Gas and back then Union Electric stock, and then bonds and CDs. I had to treat them differently with everybody else. So you're exactly right. Economies and markets change based on generations. And I see that as actually a positive. People of my generation, certainly in the 60s, but also younger, have grown up with more knowledge of markets as investors. Now, some of them get a little ridiculous by putting half their money in Bitcoin. I'll put that aside. But at least they're somewhat engaged in a little bit and learning a little bit about it. And one more thing, we are about to see the biggest transfer of wealth in the history of the world. As the aging baby boomers now get into their 80s and they start to pass on, we will see trillions of dollars go to younger generations over the next 10 to 15 years. It'll be unlike anything that we see. This will help keep the stock market propped up because a lot of the older investors don't have as much in stock as they might have once had. But now, once that's passed on to their kids and grandkids, a lot of that money will be filtered even more back into the market. I see this as a positive long-term development.
In terms of the tariffs and the impact they're going to have, there was a hedge fund I can't remember his name now, but he had just said that even if the president reduces those China tariffs to 50%, right now they're well over 100, that if he reduces to 50, that he believes the stock market will hit new lows. Do you agree with that?
This is the conundrum in which I find myself. I am like so many others in the profession right now. It's hard to make a prediction because we don't know what these tariffs are going to look like. And I saw the interview you're referring to. What he's really talking about is kind of what we touched on at the beginning this morning. And that is, have people already changed their behavior enough that it's already affecting supply chains? We're seeing that in real-time data. It is affecting it. Are certain purchases now that people were going to make later in the year, they're making now, which means we're going to have a softer economy in the latter half of the year? We're seeing signs that that is a possibility. So a lot of these hedge fund managers who have a great track record are really worried that no matter, even if we just go all the way back to just a 10% tariff across the board, we'll get a huge near-term spike in the market, but then that will start to wane in the lower half. I'm not as bearish as some of these guys are. I think we can survive it. We don't have to fall into a bear market, but that's a big fear among a lot of professional investment money managers who have their ear to the ground, and they don't think that we can avoid a slowing economy because of what's happening today with all the uncertainty of tariffs.
Dave, do you have any thoughts on Warren Buffett, who decided to retire at the young age of 94?
Oh, a legend. Well, let me give you a very personal and painful story here. Oh. So when I was much younger in the business, I decided I was going to buy one share of Berkshire Hathaway, like my investing idol. That was one of the greatest decisions I have ever made. Do you know what the worst decision is I've
that you
ever
didn't
made?
Buy more of it.
That I sold it.
Oh. You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
That one share, because they've never split their stock, last week,
$800,000. Oh, no. I don't like store. This makes me feel sick to my stomach. This is like the Bitcoin guy that bought the burrito or the pizza.
Oh, the guy who lost his password?
No,
he bought it with a. I know what you're talking about, but there was another guy
who lost his password.
And there's no like, hey, calling customer service. No, like, I've lost my password. And he had, I forgot how many millions of dollars in it.
He'd be a billionaire today. I know the story you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, so and he had like one more try before he got locked out, so he didn't.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was bad.
Oh,
so you were there, Dave.
Well, so if there's any silver lining, look, I put the money back into other investments that have made me money, so I'm okay. And I didn't sell it like 20 years ago. I sold it not too long ago, so I still did okay. But yeah, nothing. He has just beaten the S&P. Here's the best thing about this. If you had put $1 into Berkshire Hathaway when he bought it back in the early 60s, so 62 years ago, $100. $100 mm-hmm. would be worth $37 million today.
Oh my gosh.
Well, it's the most incredible stock performance in the history of modern finance.
What year was that?
1962 or three is like 62 years ago. $100, well, $37.5 million today.
Are there, you know, we talk about people who have made it big, who invented things and so forth. But are there average Joes out there who did nothing spectacular other than buying $100 of Berkshire Hathaway and not selling it?
You do have, I love these stories. It's like the Microsoft story where even the janitors were given stock when the company went public. And now they're multi-millionaires. Ugh. Yes. You have people. See, the thing about Berkshire Hathaway, if you look at it, it owns a lot of different companies. So you're kind of getting a mutual fund, if you will, by owning all the companies that Warren Buffett has bought over the past 60 years. So a lot of these employees of the companies that were purchased were given some Berkshire Hathaway stock. And I've read about some of these stories. Here's the little old lady who was a secretary who became a millionaire just because Warren Buffett decided to buy the company. Great American success stories.
So is it still true, because you were just talking about the generation of wealth that's going to be passed down, is it still true he's not giving his money to his kids when he dies?
Very little. That's the latest we've had. He's already given so much of it away to foundations that he's either part of or other foundations like Bill Gates Foundation. But that is true. He told his kids, you're going to have to make it on your own.
It's kind of, because it's not me, it's kind of awesome. Because it's not me. I think that is awesome. Now, I'd be pissed.
Well, you know what? His last purchase, you need to convince him, come in and buy Odyssey and Camel X. Then you would get your Berkshire Hathaway stock.
He's not going to give me anything.
I know.
Oh, my gosh. My stomach hurts, Dave,
awesome.
Because of these stories and your story. And oh, my gosh.
Yeah, don't worry. I'm doing okay. It's one of those painful things. It's like, why did I?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, you're doing okay. But see, 2 years ago, I bought a nice sweater. It was really expensive. It was $130. And I was just trying to feel good and wear a color that made me look nice. I think I was going through a hard time. Anyway, I bought the sweater. I get home. I hate the sweater. I hate it. But I don't return it in time. So now I've lost $130. I still think about that, Dave. And that's with a sweater. Can you imagine if I lost millions of dollars?
Or all the kids who put, you know, their rookie Topps baseball cards in the 50s and 60s on the spokes of their wheels that are now worth hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars. I think most of us at some point have stories like that, yes.
Dave Simons, we appreciate it. We're going to talk to you next week.
Yep.
That sounds good. I look forward to it, as always.
Dave is the partner and managing director at One Private Wealth. So I think the lesson is never sell any stocks.
Never sell any stock.
Ever.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now. And what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.